Okay, we're on pay base. Do you have pay base? Okay, get a Gemara Yuma. We're learning Yuma pay base. How are you today, Steve? Good?
The secret of what gets you to a happy life is to go to that area.
Right. Okay.
What are you going to do in winter?
So we're up to Omer Rav Huna on pay base. Pei Beis Amud Aleph. You remember we count down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down from the top of the page. Okay? And we're talking about the children fasting before their bar mitzvah, or in a case of a girl before a bat mitzvah, he at the age of 13 before that, and she at the age of 12, she becomes bat mitzvah. Clearly, once they become bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah, they have to fast the whole day of Yom Kippur. But what about training them beforehand? So, Om Rav Huna, Rav Huna says the following. Ben Shmona. Now, Rashi says Libriya. Now, there's a Girsa problem here. So, in your text, it may say, as it does in mine, Libari. But on the back, on the bottom, he corrects it, Libriya. Bria is feminine for a healthy girl. So we're now talking about a healthy girl, and when do we have to start training her? Ben Shmona v'yomechad. If someone could close the door, I can't concentrate with the noise in the back. George, you want to close the two doors for me? Thanks. So this girl is 8 years old. So if you count backwards from the age of 11, which is Shana Smucha Pirka, right? Because Pirka is at the age of 12, that's when she comes obligated. So you go back to 11 and back to 10 and back to 9 and back to 8, you've got 4 years. So she's 4 years before she becomes bat mitzvah, at the ripe old age of 8 years old, she is fasting what we call Sha'os. Now what does Sha'os mean? So if you look at Rashi is going to tell us that Shos means, let's say for example, she usually eats at the second hour of the morning. Let's say if the morning starts at 7, so she usually has breakfast at 9. I'm just giving you an example. So we're going to feed her at 10 instead of at 9. That's called Shos. We're going to postpone her daily intake of food. And that's going to happen when she hits the age of 8. Rashi adds another day, because she has to be into her 9th year. So she's 8, she's had her 8th birthday and 1 day. So that's how old she is when she starts the training. Uben Teisha. But what if she doesn't have a strong constitution? She's not a Bria. She's what's called a Chola. Chola means she's a weak constitution. Then Mechanchen Osan L'Shos. Then we wait till she's 9 years old and 1 day. And that means we only give her 3 years before her bat mitzvah to train her L'Shos. And once again, as we said, she usually eats at 9 o'clock. Now she'll eat at 10 o'clock. So basically, whether or not we're talking about a Bria, a healthy girl, a very strong girl, or we're talking about a Chola, means a weaker girl, in both cases, the concept of Chinuch L'Shos is identical. We're going to postpone her breakfast for an hour. But the difference is, at what age should we begin training her? If she's a healthy girl at the age of 8, if she is a weaker girl at the age of 9. Okay? Now, we're up to a new concept. And that concept is called Hashlama. Hashlama means to complete the fast. Until now, we've been talking about Shos, to postpone her breakfast for an hour. So she fasts for an hour. Now we're talking about her fasting the full day. And we haven't discussed this yet. At what age does she have to fast the full day? Well, certainly on a total level, at what age?
12.
But Ben Eser, when she's 10, Uben Achatasre, and when she's 11, meaning 10 in the case of a healthy girl, and 11 in the case of a weaker type of constitution, Mashlimim, she has to complete the fast. And then Rav Huna adds the word Midrabanan. This is also nothing more than a rabbinic requirement. So again, a healthy girl will have to fast how many years before her bat mitzvah?
Two.
And a weaker girl? One. Ben Shtemesre, once she's 12, and Rashi has a day, 12 in a day. Mashlimim, she has to finish the fast midoraita, according to Torah law, because she's already bat mitzvah. and she has to fast the entire day, whether she's healthy or whether she's weak. It doesn't matter, unless she's going to die. But I'm saying weak, meaning she's a little bit weaker of a constitution. It's more challenging for her to fast. And now, Rav Huna adds the word bitinoket. All that we've discussed is regarding a girl. Okay, we'll see now that Rav Nachman is going to fill in what happens with a boy. So far we have a girl. So again, let's just review what Rav Huna is saying. For Shaos, she has to begin at the age of 8. That means 4 years before her Chiv Doraisa. That's if she's a healthy girl. If she is less healthy, if she's weaker, then at the age of 9. So she only has 3 years of preparation. Now, when it gets to Hashlova Midrabbanan, the rabbinic requirement that she train herself and finish the fall fast, if it's a Bria, if she's a healthy girl, then at what age? At the age of 10. That means we give her already 2 years before Bat Mitzvah to finish the fast. If on the other hand she's of a weaker constitution, at the age of 11, only 1 year before the fast.
The rabbi, according to what was seer, right, this concept of telling kids under 8, you know, wait an hour, wait 2 hours, and all that. There's no such thing. There's a peanut.
And again, according to Tosefos Yom Kippur, you're not even allowed to do that. Yeah. Okay. Now we have Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is gonna complete the picture with regard to a boy. Rav Nachman Omar, with regard to training a boy, Ben Teisha, we start at the age of 9 if he's healthy, and he's already going to fast Shos, means he's going to postpone his breakfast. Ben Eser, if he's a weaker constitution, he begins at the age of 10. Okay, this is as far as Shos is concerned. He's Mechanchilus on the Shos. Okay, now we're talking about completing the fast. Ben Achatisre, if he's a healthy boy, at the age of 11, again, we're going to give him 2 years to train himself in fasting the whole day. Ben Shtemisre, if he's a weaker constitution, he gets only 1 year to train himself in fasting the whole day. Is Mashlimim Midrabanan, that's a rabbinic requirement of Chinuch, to see to it that he's able to fast, that he's used to fasting. Ben Shloshisre, when he becomes Bar Mitzvah, Mashlimim Midoraisa, and all this is referring to Tinok, but Tinok meaning for a boy. The only thing that bothered me here was that Rav Huna uses the masculine Ben when he's referring not to a Ben but to a Bas. I found that a little bit odd. But the Mefarshim already explained that the word Ben here means a child. And since at the end of his whole presentation he says Betinokes, with a girl, so that clarifies that he's referring to a girl and not to a boy. So let's just quickly go through the Rashis. Again, I think we pretty much said all the Rashis outside, but let's see it inside. Omar Avhuna. It's a second line in the Gemara. Omar Avhuna. Ben Shmona Libria. Again, the text should say Bria in Rashi, meaning a healthy girl. Sha'avra Shmona. She's already past her 8th birthday. V'nichnas Olatei. She's already into the 9th year. Ubitinokes, and we're talking about a girl. Kidemisayim Mils, as he completes at the end of his presentation. Dahavi Shnas Teisha, that year, which is after she reaches her 8th birthday, is Arba Shonim Lifnei Pirka. 4 years before she is obligated on a Doraisa level. Pirka means she became 12. So you got 2 years of Shos and 2 years of Hashlama Midrabanan, and then bingo, she's Chayeves Midoraisa in Hashlama. Uben Teisha, but what if she's not so healthy, she's not so strong, Lechola? Sha'av Rosh Nas Teisha, she already passed the 9th year, she's celebrated her 9th birthday, Nichnas L'Toch Esa, she's already a day into her 10th year, Da'inu Gimel Shanim Lifnei Pirka, Mechanchim L'Shos, which means that we're going to give her 2 years, not just 1 second, how much shows are we going to give her, just 1 second, Mechanchim L'Shos, Uben Achatisre, so again, it's 3 years, so we'll give her 2 years of Shos, and then when she reaches the age of 11, then 1 year of Hashlom. So again, in both a Bria and a Chola, she'll get 2 years of Shos, but in the case of a Bria, she's going to start the 2 years of training of Shos 1 year earlier, that means 4 years before Bat Mitzvah, so that she gets 2 years of Shos and 2 years of Hashlama. In the case of a Chola, she also will get 2 years of Shos, but it'll be postponed by a year. She'll only start 9, which means 3 years before Bat Mitzvah, and she'll only get 1 year of Hashlama. So basically there are two differences between a Bria and a Chola. The first difference is at what age do they begin Shos, and the second difference is how long of a period of time of Hashlama do they have. In the case of a Bria, she starts Shos 4 years before Bat Mitzvah, meaning at the age of 8. In the case of a Chola, she starts only 3 years before Bat Mitzvah, at the age of 9. And in the case of a Bria, she gets 2 years of Hashlama Min Rabbanan, 2 years already before Bat Mitzvah, she's fasting a full day. In the case of a Chola, right, in feminine, she's only fasting a full day 1 year before Bat Mitzvah. That's Rav Huna in the case of a Tinokus. Now we move on to the case of a Tinok, and that was Rav Nachman's presentation. Ben Eser, we're still finishing up Hashlama in Rav Huna, my mistake, I jumped the gun. Ben Eser Libria, if she's healthy, she can begin Hashlama at the age of 8. She's already done 2 years from 8 to 10 of what? Shos. Now she's ready for 2 years of Hashlama from the age of 10. Sha'avra Esenichsal Chadisre. She's already into 11th year. She's got 1 day into her 11th year. Uben Achatisre Litinokas Chola. If she's 11 and she's not of great constitution, then she will do 1 year of Hashlama because Nichnasal Yudbet. She's already 1 day into her 12th year. Mashlimim Mirabonim. Ben Yudbet. She's 12 years and 1 day. Mashlim midaraita shehi pirkan litinokas. That's her mature age in the case of a tinokas. And habriya v'achola shavosbo. There's no difference here in this case between a healthy and a weaker girl. Rav Nachman Omer says Rashi lo polig. What does polig mean?
Argue.
Rashi says that Rav Nachman is not coming to argue. On the contrary, he's coming to fill in the missing blanks. Lo polig Rav Nachman ad Rav Huna. He's not arguing on Rav Huna. Elamar pirish mila de tinokas umar pirish mila de tinok. Rav Huna addresses the case of a girl, and Rav Nachman addresses the case of a boy, but there's no difference between the two. Okay, now we get to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, does everybody have the place, right? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says the following, Hashlama derabonon leka. There's no such thing as Hashlama midirabonon. We don't have such a thing. The whole institution of completing the entire fast, Hashlama, on a rabbinic level, means before Pirkan, before their bar mitzvah, does not exist. He denies it. Because Chachamim are worried about her health, or his health. And therefore, it's not, even though it's important to train a child in mitzvahs, and certainly in the case of fasting for Yom Kippur, which is a Chiv Kares, but nevertheless, we're not going to be willing to jeopardize the health. I'll just tell you a quick story that I heard. I don't know if it's true. I can't vouch for it. But back in Poland, in Belz, which was a famous Hasidic dynasty, the Belzer Rebbe used to walk around. Again, I can't... Yeah.
I heard it also. He used to feed the tinokos.
No, not tinokos. He used to walk around and look into the face about mincha time, okay, on Yom Kippur. Let's say mincha was at 2, 3 o'clock, I don't know. Whatever time it was. He would walk around, he would look at your face and tell you whether you had to eat or not.
Yes.
And if the Rebbe said you had to eat, you had to eat. There was no ifs, ands, and buts. So he looked at your face and he could see how weak you are. And if he felt that maybe it's a danger for you, he would tell you you have to eat. And Rabbi Yochanan is so worried about danger in the case of a child that he completely denies the institution of chinuch l'hashlama. It's not on his radar screen. And therefore, all we're left with, according to Rabbi Yochanan, as far as training a child before bar mitzvah, before bat mitzvah, is shos. Says Rabbi Yochanan, ben eser, if we're talking about a boy. So a boy who's healthy at the age of 10, which means 3 years before his bar mitzvah, or ben achatzre at the age of 11, if he's of a weaker constitution, mechanchin oso l'shos, we train him either 3 years or 2 years before his bar mitzvah to postpone his breakfast. Ben shtemisre, but if it's a girl, correct? So at the age of 12, mashlima midoraisa. For a 12-year-old girl, she has to complete the fast on a doraisa level.
There's not concept that you have to fast one time before you bat mitzvah, according to Rabbi Yochanan?
Well, for some reason, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't bother repeating the case of tinokas, meaning he chooses one of the two. In this case, he chooses the tinok, but the same principle applied to tinokas. In other words, what we saw in tinokas is what is going to be parallel to what we see in tinok, namely that the chinuch l'shos is going to be 2 years or 1 year before bar mitzvah. In the case of a girl, that's going to be 1 year earlier. But again, this principle has remained the same since we dropped the concept of hashloma, and all we're left with is mechanchin l'shalos, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Then everything's going to start 1 year later because we slip out the hashloma, and all we're left with is shalos. So shalos will always be 2 years before the bar mitzvah in the case of a bari, and 1 year before bar mitzvah in the case of a chola.
So he has not such a thing as hashlama.
He doesn't recognize hashlama. It's too dangerous. You're jeopardizing the life of a child. You're not allowed to do that, even for the great mitzvah of chinuch. He doesn't have it. Let's see if Rashi adds anything. Rav Nachman, we did. Okay, so the next Rashi is Tanan. We didn't get up to Tanan yet. That's what we're up to now. Okay, let's just see if there's anything here that I wanted to tell you. Again, you know, if you're a brisker, you have no problem with this. The briskers are more machmir in Pikuch Nefesh than in Yom Kippur. You know, Pikuch Nefesh is very important. And again, I can tell you stories. In Litta, there was a Rav named Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in a city called Tzitivyan. And his grandson told me that one time the most important member of the community, who was the big supporter of the community, was very, very sick. And he asked Rabbi Yaakov if he has to fast. Rabbi Yaakov sent him to a doctor. And the doctor told Rabbi Yaakov he can't fast. It's dangerous. So Rabbi Yaakov called him in and said, "You're not allowed to fast." And the man went ahead and fasted. He died 3 days after Yom Kippur. And Rabbi Yaakov refused to eulogize him at his funeral. As a result, he had to leave the community. He had to forfeit his post. Because he felt the man was a suicide case and didn't deserve a eulogy. It's an unbelievable story. I mean, when you have to eat, you have to eat. I remember when my wife was, I think, in her 8th month pregnancy. So I asked Rav Soloveitchik if she should fast. He told me yes, but then he said if she sees the following symptoms, he starts describing symptoms to me, then she should eat. So I said, should we give her small portions? You know, he says, no, let her eat kisuda shlomo amelech b'shaito. Chazal have this phrase that the most lavish banquet is shlomo amelech. You know, he was a very wealthy king. Alright, now we learn our Mishnah, and we want to read our Mishnah again, but this time meticulously, in light of the machlokas about whether there's such a concept of hashlomo or not. Because keep in mind that according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, right, that's the first school of thought that accepts hashlomo, so then the shos is going to begin 1 year earlier. Which means, according to Rav Huna, we're going to start shos in the case of a bari 4 years before, in the case of a chola 3 years before, which means in the case of a girl 8 and 9, and in the case of a boy, which is what Rav Nachman filled in, we're going to start at 9 and 10, but we're maintaining a 3 year, we're preempting Yom Kippur by 3 years, and establishing a chiyuv of shos. That's not true according to Rabbi Yochanan, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the maximum is going to be 2 years. Now let's read our Mishnah. Okay, you can read it in one of two ways. Either you can read it in the Mishnah or you can read it in the Gemara. Tanan, I'm going to read it in the Gemara, but you could have a finger on the Mishnah. Tanan, are you up to Tanan? It's hard for me to tell you where it is. Tanan, from the top of the page, it's about 12 lines down. The first word in the line is Mashlimin. Tanan, we learned in that Mishnah, Hatinokos ein ma'anino son v'yom ha-kipurim. Avol mechanchin oson lifnei shana lifnei shtayim. Now, if you recall our discussion of yesterday, 1 year or 2 years, 1 year in the case of a chola and 2 years in the case of a bari, is a reference to 1 year or 2 years before Shana HaSamach LePirkon. So if that be the case, then we're talking about 3 years before or 4 years before. Correct? Because the Shana HaSamach LePirkon now gets jacked up. Bishleim Rav Huna Rav Nachman, according to their opinion, Lifnei Shana Lifnei Shnatai, makes a lot of sense. And let's assume our mission is talking about a chole, correct? So in the case of a chole, you recall that a girl will start at the age of 9, a boy will start at the age of 10, which means 3 years. So that fits beautifully because Lifnei Shana Lidivrehem, in other words, as far as the Hashlama is concerned, you recall that there's 1 year, in the case of a Chola, there's 1 year of Hashlama, correct? You remember that? In the case of someone who doesn't have a strong constitution, there's 1 year of Hashlama. And now, we're going to add, in the case of a Chola, 2 years of Shos. So that's exactly what it says in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah in addressing the case of a Chola is saying, Lifnei Shana, Lifnei Shnatayim. Okay? So Lifnei Shana is referring to whom? To a chole. And that's 1 year before Hashlama, because the Mishnah is talking about Shos. And it means that in the case of a chole, she, if she's a girl, she's going to start Shos at the age of 10. Did we get that right? Just 1 second. Just 1 second. No, what we're saying is that Hashlama was 2 years, correct? Did I get that right? Hashlama is 2 years? Yeah. Hashlama was 2 years. So the Mishnah, by pushing it back 2 years in the case of a Bria, means that she starts Shos at the age of 8, or 1 year in the case of a Chola, that means she starts Shos at the age of 9. So that's perfect. So, Lifnei Shana LeDivrayim, in other words, in the case of a Chole, we're going to add 1 year of Hashlama, sorry, 1 year of Shos before the Hashlama. So that means, Mechanchis HaChole, Shana Achas, Kodem LeShana Smucha LeShana LeDivrayim, right? Because the Shana Smucha is going to be the year of Hashlama. That means from the age of 11 to 12. And then, Mechanchis HaChole, Shana Achas, Kodem LeHashlama, okay, at the age of 10. Lifnei Shtayim, or 2 years earlier, LeDivrei Torah. In other words, if we're talking about a Chole, so if we add 2 years before Shana Smucha LeHashlama Doraisa, which means 3 years before she becomes Bat Mitzvah, and that's going to be at the age of 9. So everything works out here according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Okay, we can review this again in a minute, but let's just get the general structure. El Rav Yochanan, but according to Rav Yochanan, who denies the whole concept of Hashlama, Kasha, there's no way of interpreting our Mishnah like Rav Huna and like Rav Nachman, that the Mishnah is talking about a Chola, and the two different times are related either to Hashlama or Midrabanan or Hashlama Doraisa. In other words, it's going to be, in the case of a chola, it's going to be 2 years before Hashlama Doraisa, or 1 year before Hashlama Derabanan, right?
Yes, Hashlama Doraisa?
No, I'm saying, according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, let's go over, that there is everybody holds Hashlama Doraisa. Hashlama means completing the fast, right?
So, what
do you say?
Yeah, that's of the other two guys.
Let's just summarize. According to Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, we've got a din of Hashlama Doraisa. Rav Yochanan can't deny that. That's at the age of 12. And then we have Hashlama Derabanan, which is going to take place from the ages of 10 until 12, correct? 10 to 12, she's doing Hashlama. From the ages of 8 to 10, in the case of a Bria, she's going to do Shos. In the case of a Chola, she's only going to do 1 year of Shos from the age of 9 till the age of 10. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah works out beautifully according to that shot. What does the Mishnah mean when it says, Lifnei Shana, Lifnei Shnatayim? Lifnei Shana, Lifnei Shana time is referring to a Chola. And a Chola will begin 1 year before Hashlama Derabbanan. Hashlama Derabbanan. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's one of those, you know, those companies, you know, they call you.
He's back for Shas.
Yeah. I shut it off. Okay, sorry. Apologize. Good. So now, so what's the 1 year and 2 years? So the one, again, we're talking about a chola now. If it's a chola, then it's going to be 1 year before Hashlama Derabbanan. Correct? 1 year before Hashlama Derabbanan.
2 years.
And 2 years before Hashlama Doraisa.
Right.
Which means that in the case of a chola, just 1 second, are we talking about a girl or a boy? It's important for me to know that. Just 1 second. It shouldn't matter either way. I think it shouldn't matter. Check me out on that. So again, let's go over this again. The Mishnah is talking about a chola, correct? And according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, in the case of a chola, lifnei shana lidivrehem, correct? Because there's 1 year of Hashlama. There's 1 year of Hashlama. And
2 years of
Shos? Yeah. So wait a minute. So what's Lifnei Shana? Just 1 second. Lifnei Shana. Lifnei Shana. Lifnei Shtayim. Lifnei Shana. Again, we're talking about a Chola. I just got to get the math straight. I'm a little bit slow. So Lifnei Shana. Lidivrehem. I just going to choose. Oh, right. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I missed that 1 year, right? And there's always a Shana Hasmucha Lepirkon, correct? So, in the case of Hashlama Midivrehem, right? According to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, there's Hashlama Midivrehem. And then there's the Shana Hasmucha Lepirkon. So, Pirkon now means Pirkon Midivrehem. Pirkon Midivrehem brings us back, in the case of a girl, to the age of 11. Shana Hasmucha Lepirkon would be the age of 10. Correct? Just 1 second. No. Did you just give me a second? I'm sorry. I thought I had it. I'm sorry. George, you figure it out yourself. I'm going to figure it out myself. No one can help me here. I promise you. I just have to work it out. Just a second. So Mishnah is a case of a chola. So lifnei shana lidivrayim. It means mechanchin is a chola shana achas kodem hashana smucha lidivrayim. Tahinu hashlama libari. Shehu ben Eser Ulechole. Ah, I see. Okay, so we're talking about a boy here. I thought we were talking about a girl. So let's go slowly. So we have Hashlama Midivrayim. So Hashlama Midivrayim is going to take me back to what? Hashlama Midivrayim is going to take me back to the age of 11. Do we have it? Because they're 2 years of Hashlama. Okay? So then, now we have Shos. When we have Shos, so if it's a case of a Bari, I'm sorry, if it's a case of a Chol, let's start with the case of Chol, it's Lifnei Shana. Means he's going to start at the age of 9. Do we have that? And if he's a Bari, I'm sorry, if he's a Chole, he's going to start at the age of 10. Of 10, correct, because at the age of 11 he's doing Hashlama Midivrayim, correct, Hashlama Midivrayim. If he's a Chole, so we're going to start at the age of 10, and then 10 is Shos, and then 11 and 12 is Hashlama Midivrayim. If it's a Bari, then he could do 2 years of Shos, which means that he's going to start at the age of 9. Okay,
you write it down, Rabbi, your number.
Yeah, okay, you wrote it down, good. I meant to write it down, but I... Elul Rabbi Yochanan. But if we go according to Rabbi Yochanan, who rejects the whole concept of Hashlama, is Kasha, we won't be able to interpret the Mishnah in the same way that we did according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman at the Mishnah is referring to a chole and a bari, and it's either 1 year or 2 years before Ashlomah midivreihem, because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't recognize Ashlomah midivreihem. So how is he going to explain lifnei shana, lifnei shnatayim? Because all that Rabbi Yochanan has is shows, and if he has shows, then let's go back to Rabbi Yochanan, and this you can write down if you haven't already written it down. Rabbi Yochanan has ben eser lebari and ben achadisrei lechola, so he's got 2 years or 3 years, and the Mishnah says 1 year or 2 years. You see, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman have a luxury here. They can whittle down the years as numbered by the Mishnah to 1 year and 2 years, because those are shows that come before Ashlama. So we can add the 2 years of Ashlama and jack up the numbers to 3 and 4. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, 3 and 4. But in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, that we don't have Ashlama, all we have is shows, then how do we jack up the numbers to 3 and 4? Because again, Rabbi Yochanan says that in the case of shows, we have two or three, correct? We have ben eser and ben achadisre. Ben eser in the case of a bari, ben achadisre in the case of a chola. So we have either 2 years or 3 years, right? A bari will get... Just 1 second. A bari, according to Rabbi Yochanan, starts at the age of 11. So how many years? 10. At the age of 10, I'm sorry. He's a bari, so he has 3 years of shows, correct? And in the case of a chola, he has only 2 years of shows. So it's either two or three, but here the Mishnah mentions 1 and 2. So the Gemara answers, Amar lecha Rabbi Yochanan, Ema, what I'm going to suggest is, Shana o shnatayim samuch lepirkan. He also is going to be able to buffer it and jack up the numbers to 2 and 3. How can he jack up the numbers? Because he's going to say that Shana o shnatayim means before the year of samuch lepirkan.
Samuch lepirkan.
And samuch lepirkan is when he's 12 going on to 13. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So that's what we have. Now, I just want to point out to you that I found here in the back two interesting discussions that I wanted to share with you. First of all, there's a discussion about whether or not the mother is obligated to train her children. Because, in fact, there are sources in, mostly the main sources in a Gemara in Masechet Nazir, which says, Ish chayev lechanech es benov lemitzvos, v'ein isha chayev es lechanech es benov b'mitzvos. So there is definitely a source in Nazir, the Gemara quotes Reish Lakish, on Daf Chav Tes, that only a father is obligated in chinuch. Yesh mefarsh, but there is one school of thought that a mother is completely exempt from the chi of chinuch. That seems to be contradicted by a Gemara at the beginning of Sukkah. The Gemara on Sukkah, and Sukkah says that Hileni Amalka would sit with her children in the Sukkah because of Chinuch. So the Gemara, so those Mepharshim want to say that she, it's true she sat in the Sukkah for Chinuch purposes, but it was the father who was actually Mechanech them. She actually sat with them. Others say she didn't have a father. They didn't have a father, and therefore when there's no father, then the mother becomes obligated.
The same as that bris.
Correct. Very similar to the case of a bris. But Yesh Mefarshim, here he quotes another Shita in the name of Rabbeinu Peretz. And Rabbeinu Peretz is of the opinion, Shelo Amru Ein Ha'em Chayeves Lechanech Es B'na Ela B'Nazir Avol B'Shar Mitzvos Af Ha'em Chayeves Lechancho. And I was thinking the following, that Rabbeinu Peretz is postulating that a mother, with regard to all mitzvahs save one, has the identical obligation of chinuch to her children as her husband, as a father. And I think what Rabbeinu Peretz is implying is that there's something called chinuch l'kedusha. We mentioned it in the past. You know, to bring a child into sanctity. That chiyuv is imposed on the father and not the mother. And that's the case of Nazir. And maybe other cases that would be similar to Nazir. Right? A Nazir has a special level of kedusha.
The woman is the Nazir.
So I say, when the Gemara says that a woman doesn't have to train her children in Nizirus, that's because that's not real chinuch. That's kedusha. That's sanctity. To bring the child into the ambiance of sanctity, that's a specific obligation imposed on the husband. But with regard to pure chinuch, which is all the other mitzvahs, a woman shares the same obligation as a man, but please keep in mind that that's only the opinion of Rabbeinu Peretz, and it's against, I don't even want to read to you the whole list of who's who here, that you know, that they all maintain that Nazir is just the paradigm of all mitzvahs, and the obligation is on the father and not on the mother. And the second issue that I wanted to call to your attention is, who's obligated in the mitzvah of chinuch? Is it the father, is it the child, or is it both? And one opinion says that even the child himself is obligated to do the mitzvos, and others say that the chiyuv is only on the father, but there's no chiyuv on the son himself. And here, George, he quotes as a proof all the obligations that are incumbent on a father vis-a-vis his son, la mulo, lifdoso, lam the Torah, lam the umnus. He has to teach him all these different things, and so he has to train him in mitzvahs. But the katan himself is not chayv in mitzvahs. He's not a bar chiyuv at all. And in the footnote, he writes, Makov Bezin Yafel Chayev Katan. What authority does the Bezin have to impose an obligation on the Katan? The Katan could laugh at them and, you know, blow a whistle in their face and say, I don't have to obey the laws of the Chachamim. I'm not Chayev in any mitzvah. So why am I Chayev to listen to the, to accept the authority of the Chachamim? The Sosu doesn't apply to him. So therefore, by definition, any Takanas Chacham that engenders a Chiyuv can only be imposed on a Gadol, in this case on the father. And the proof to this second opinion that the Katan himself is alleviated from any responsibility is quoted by the Ramban and the Ritva in Megillah, where the Gemara establishes that a Katan cannot be motzi a gadol. He cannot, let's say, read the Megillah for a gadol, even though Megillah is only a mitzvah derabbanon. So the Katan also has a chiyuv derabbanon, according to that first opinion. So why can't the Katan, insofar as he has the same identical obligation as the Gadol, they're both chayv midrabbanon, why can't he read the Megillah for the Gadol? The answer must be the Katan doesn't have any obligation to read the Megillah. It's the father's obligation to train the child. Okay, so that's what I wanted to add here. Let's just see if by chance we have enough time to finish a few more lines in the Gemara and get to the Mishnah. If you have to go, you have to go, but I'd love to get to the Mishnah.
There's a minhag in the Taimanim that the Kotel reads the Sefer Torah.
That's something else, I think. The Kotel reading a Sefer Torah is a different halacha. Let me ask you a question. Again, this is a long discussion. You know what? Let's wait for this, George. I just want to see. I have a lot to say about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a poorly boy at home, so I need to go back and.
You have a what?
A sick boy at home.
So oh, get over here. Well, why'd you leave him?
Fine, sir.
Go ahead. So, Toshma. Now we're going to bring a proof for Rabbi Yochanan. The Braisa says the following: the Tani Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Bar Shmuel brought us a Braisa. Tinokos ein ma'anino son biyom Kippurim avu mechanchino son shana oshtayim samuch lepirkan, 1 year or 2 years before the pirkan. Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's of the opinion that there's no ashlama midra banan at all. The chinuch is only chinuch shows, which means 1 year in the case of a chole and 2 years in the case of a bari nicha. It makes sense. The braisa reads smoothly that it's 1 year and 2 years before pirkon, which pirkon means when they complete the fast, which is at the age of 12, or in the case of a boy at the age of 13. El Rav Huna ul Rav Nachman, who hold that chinuch l'shos is either 2 years or 3 years, kasha, how can we justify the braisa that mentions 1 year or 2 years? Amri loch rabbanon, but the rabbis, meaning Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, will explain the braisa thusly. My chinuch, what does the braisa mean when it says mechanchen osan? Nami dekatani lashlama. The word chinuch in this context is not referring to shows, but rather it's referring to hashlama. And it's exciting to me because, as I told you yesterday, chinuch means to prepare the child to complete the mitzvah and do it in a perfect way. So it could only be referring to hashlama. You know, the word mechanchem here, according to this answer in the braisa, only refers to hashlama, and hashlama is either 1 year or 2 years. That's what we said. My chinuch nami diktani, the word chinuch here, is referring to hashlama. which is going to be 1 year for a chole and 2 years for a bari. So the Gemara asks, "Umi kari lechinuch hashlama?" Is it true that the Tanoim, when they write the Brisa, they use the word chinuch when they're referring to hashlama? For Atanya, didn't we learn the Brisa? Eze chinuch. What is the word chinuch referred to? Ze rogil lechol b'shteishos. A child who usually eats, let's call it at 9 o'clock in the morning. If the daybreak was at 7, machinos al shalshos. We feed him instead of 9 o'clock. We feed him at 10 o'clock. B'shalsh, if he usually eats at 10 o'clock, so machinos al ba'arba, we'll feed him at 11 o'clock. Anyway, you see clearly that the word chinuch is used to refer to shows. Omar Rava Bar Ula, Rava, the son of Ula, says, Trei chinuche hava. The word chinuch has two different meanings to it. It could refer to chinuch of shows, and it could refer to the chinuch of hashlomo.
So there's no answer on this one, that means. Right. Because the next mishnah, so you have no answer on which is the right way to do it.
Right. So what we could do, if we have time, is look into the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, and see how we paskin in terms of how many years before the child's bar mitzvah, but mitzvah, do we have to train them to fast? And that we would do another day. The next mishnah, by the way, is a fascinating mishnah about a pregnant woman who gets the smell of food on Yom Kippur, and she has a tremendous desire to eat. And the truth is, we're allowed to feed her, and this is going to introduce a whole new topic of pikuach nefesh.
Even from smelling.
Then the Gemara is going to have a case of bulmus. You see, if you turn to the Mishnah afterwards on Pei Gimel, Misha Ochso Bulmus. Bulmus is some sort of a shock kind of thing in which a person gets so hungry that it looks like he's about to expire. So we have to make sure to feed him. All right, so we finish now. I just want to answer, to address your question, George, from before. You asked me about the Teimani Minog of a katan reading the Torah. So in order to answer that question, I want to ask you a different question. You may know that the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that women do not make brachos on mitzvos unless they're obligated in the mitzvah. They can't say Asher Kidshan mitzvos v'tzivon. So for example, if a woman decides to shake a lulav on sukkah, she does not make a bracha. That's according to the Mechaber. Now the Rama disagrees based on the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that's for Ashkenazim, but for Sfaradim, and it dates back to the Rambam, there's no such thing as a bracha unless you're obligated in the mitzvah. So everybody asks the following question. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, I think it's in Archaim Simim Mem Zayin, that a woman, when she wakes up in the morning, she recites Birchas HaTorah. Shekin Charim, it's also Tzivano, Lasak, or Aldiri Torah, whatever your Nusuch is. And yet, the Mechaber knows the Gemara. The Gemara says, Vishinanton Levanecha, in Gemara and Kiddushin, Vanecha Velobno Secha. And the woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So, why is it with regard to any other optional mitzvah that she implements, she cannot make a bracha according to that Shita? And yet, with regard to Talmud Torah, she does make a bracha? That's a famous question. So I heard once from Rabbi Soloveitchik, in the name of his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker, that Reb Chaim said that the bracha over Torah is not over the obligation to study Torah, but rather it's over the entity of Torah study. He called it the Chefzah Shel Torah. He says that there's no difference between a woman and a man with regard to the Chefzah Shel Torah. The difference between a woman and a man is with regard to what's called the Chovas Gavra, meaning where the person is obligated. So whereas a man is obligated, a woman is exempt. But they both, if they study Torah, that's the Rambam there says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that a woman who studies Torah will get schar for it, she'll be rewarded for it. In other words, she has Torah, she has a Chefzah Shel Torah. And therefore, she makes a bracha on Torah insofar as she engenders, she creates this entity, this chefta, it's almost tangible, called the chefta shel Torah. And all the laws that you can't learn Torah in a beis hamercha, it's a beis hakise, apply to a woman just as they do to a man, because her study engenders a chefta shel Torah. And that's why today we have such a new movement, to teach women Torah. It's almost the greatest revolution of our time in terms of Orthodox practice. And by the way, it's penetrating across all lives. It's hitting every single level. I mean, back in the day, 100 years ago, for Ashkenazic women, all they would read was Tzederena, which was a translation to Yiddish of the Bible. That was about it. Maybe they knew Tillin.
And the recipe book.
Today, women know so much. And this is all part of the revolution. But it's all based on the fact that a woman, although she's exempt in terms of obligation, but she has and generates a Heft Shel Torah. And her bracha, which is Shulchan Aruch Paskins, on Talmud Torah, is on the Heft Shel Torah. And now we can go one step further. And we could say that the bracha on the Torah that we read publicly is also on the Heft Shel Torah. And a katan, although he's not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, just like he's not obligated in any mitzvah, nevertheless he can generate a Heft Shel Torah. A katan has a Heft Shel Torah. So when I hear the bracha of the Torah and the katan's reading the Torah, what I fulfill is a bracha on the Heft Shel Torah, because the katan could create an entity of Torah. That's what I would say. Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop here. It's Hashem, we'll pick it up tomorrow. Tomorrow I want to start the mission of Ubra Sheiricha, about a pregnant woman who has to eat on Yom Kippur. And we'll get back to the story I told you about eating Kesuda Shlomo Melech B'Shaita. Your daughter?
My daughter had to eat on Yom Kippur. She gave birth on Dalet Tisha.
Oh, you mean to say that she had a din of Yoledes, maybe?
Yoledes.
Kippur Turin. On Dalet Tishrei for 7 days, maybe. You know, yeah. After, I don't know. We'll, you know, Lineta will. Hopefully, we'll get to it. Yeah, it's on the borderline. I don't know. It may, in that case, depend upon, you know, how she's doing. So. Is she had a normal birth or a cesarean? Do you remember?
Normal birth.
So it could be that the reason she had to eat is not necessarily a standard reason. Maybe she wasn't totally healthy. I don't know. I don't know who paskin for her in that case. But we'll talk about these laws in Mitzvah Hashem as we go along. All right, have a good day.
Thank you.